I thank the Lord for, first of all, for His goodness to me, and thank the Lord for the Church of God. And I was able to be in a couple of the services there. No, I didn't get today's, but I guess the Monday and Tuesdays. And thank the Lord for all the history and, you know, what the Lord has done. And as Sister Natalie said, you know, it's all to the glory of God. And it's been a real privilege to, you know, to grow up in the Church of God. And, you know, there's been different times in my life that I could have went very easily a different way. Two times I could have in the last, 30 years, I guess. And, you know, I thank the Lord for the truth. And, you know, I thank the Lord for the Spirit of God. You know, He won't direct you wrong. I'm thankful for that. Now, I was thinking, I got a lot of things it might be kind of mumble-jumbled, but I'll try to, I'm going to start back at 6 and Locust Street, because I can remember some bits and pieces. I was real young. I was there till probably, I guess maybe 6 years old. And I do remember, I don't know how many of you was here the other day, but I did mention, of course, they was talking about the furnace room. I can remember that room very well. I was down there probably just about every service, it seemed like to me anyway. That's where that was a hot room. That's where you got your spankings at. And anyway, that's where I was at just by every service when I was little. And I can remember one night that I was set with my grandparents, and I don't know who the old sister was. It was a real old sister set in our row. Of course, you know how little kids are, and I was one of them. And you know how you're running out of the aisles, you're not really paying attention to people's feet. Well, I remember stepping on this sister's big toe, because she let out a war whoop right during service, and everybody heard it. And that's one of this kind of little thing that stuck out. And I can remember one funeral down there, and it was actually my great aunt's, Elsie Wilkin. It was my great uncle Paul Wilkin's first wife. I remember her bits and pieces, her funeral, and I can remember a couple weddings, I guess, down there. But there's some other things. Of course, I can remember the annex when that was used. Just being out of there in the services. Remember the balcony. My dad, I believe he had a Sunday school class one time there, and just different bits and pieces. There's another. I don't remember. I know Brother Miller is sitting out here. He probably remembers his name, but used to be a brother that came to the congregation there. He was in a wheelchair and he had no legs. It's just some things that, you know, when you're real little, it just sticks out to you. He had no legs at all. And anyway, I'm thankful, you know, that I was able to, you know, grow up in the truth. And of course, I can remember, you know, Brother Wilson preaching there. Remember the testimony services, like, you know, Brother Decker has said in the past, you know, how he used to have those pop-up testimonies. And I can remember that. I remember one night, just little things, you know, it's just funny how little things just stick in your mind. I can remember one night, old Sister Craig popped up, and she thanked the Lord that she found a button. She lost a button, and she went on about that button. It was just, you know, them little things that just stick in your mind. And you know, some things you just don't forget, and you know, there's a reason for that. And anyway, moving on, you know, I was thinking, you know, in Brother Decker's ministry, there's been a lot of changes, a lot of renovations, you know, just on the grounds. And I was thinking too that, you know, I had the opportunity, you know, growing up, and if any of you have a trade that you're interested in, you can learn a lot of things just here, working with brethren that's had the experience. And I can remember I was right on Brother Orr's tail, believe me. I spent hours and hours and hours and hours out here with Brother Orr, because that was my trade. It was electrical work, and I wanted to learn it. and I guess maybe it was, you know, some things just kind of come natural, I guess. And he, of course, you know, I was full of questions, and he always took the time, and I was always right by his side. And I don't know, I don't know, countless hundreds of hours. You know, and even when I was in my teens, you know, I would ask him questions, and I may have mentioned this before, I was actually changing electrical services out in the city in Newark before I had a driver's license. I went down and filled out the city permits, and they never asked me how old I was. Never asked me anything, as far as that's concerned. But I got my information, and, you know, I wasn't sure about all the forms, but I had a copy of them, and I asked Brother Orr, and he instructed me. And you know, some of the things I was involved in at that age, I'd be scared to death let some of my kids even try it, I guess, you know. But, you know, I'm thankful that, as I said, you know, there's a lot of things that, if you do have a trade, and there's a lot of opportunities here. I remember, I was getting back to Brother Decker, you know, the earlier years on the grounds, of course, when they built the building here, of course, I was young. Of course, we just moved from, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old when he was building this building. I can remember coming in here when, as you've seen some of the pictures, just the walls, actually even before these walls were up, I can remember coming here, and I remember very well the mud in this place. Of course, you know, when you're small, it seems like it's a lot deeper. You know, that, but it was, you know, even just as a child coming in here, you know, I was up to my waist in mud. And there was some, definitely some wet places in this building. But in Brother Decker's ministry, it seems like there's been a lot more repairs he had to deal with. You know, through Brother Wilson's ministry, it was all, as far as construction, it was basically construction. You know, we was building new buildings. We didn't really, the only thing I guess we did was move the old barn under his ministry, and of course we built the new dorm. But as far as, you know, going back and repairing things, you know, just like this building here, this is the second time around for Brother Decker for the roof. Second time when we did the carpet back in, what was it, 06 or whenever it was, that was the second time around for that for Brother Decker. It's just, you know, a lot of changes that he's had to deal with as far as renovations, you know, that Brother Wilson didn't have to worry about, because it was basically, it was new when he was pastor, and he didn't have to deal with a lot of those situations. And but yeah, I was some of the things I was involved in as far as on the grounds, I guess back probably the earliest, I guess was the probably one of the first things I really got involved in was the men's shower room over the hill. I think I was probably in a, when I was really getting in the helping Brother Wardlaw, I don't know, maybe 8th grade, 9th grade, and that's when we built that building down there. And of course I did a lot of the electrical work in it with Brother Orr. The bus garage behind the dining hall, we did that in the 70s. Was involved in that. I was a little older. Of course, we did the all several different things, I guess, adding things in the lunch stands and different things like that. And bringing the lunch stand back, I do remember also back in the camp meetings when we, of course, when the old barn was on the hill, coming to the camp meetings there and enjoying the old barn, and as far as the camp meeting services. I think Brother Sasher mentioned the other day about the rain. I've been here before when it rained so hard it would just about drown the speaker out. They'd have to crank him up louder and louder, and it hit that tin roof and it just about drowned it out. And but there was a lot of good services in that building. But anyway, and that was another project that I was involved with, and I was older at that time, or I guess maybe just out of high school. And I do have a story, I guess, about the old barn. When we moved it, I was involved. We tore off all the wings that you had seen in those pictures. around, they kept building wings on. One of the biggest, or probably one of the biggest ones they built on, was actually the original choir loft. The loft there, or the loft that's in there now, is not really the original choir loft. It was actually on out the back wall. It was torn off, and then a lot of the, of course, the wings is kind of back to where I would say maybe the original barn, pretty close to it, the original structure. And that being said, too, this came to my mind. I think it was my grandmother on my mom's side, which was the relatives on the Wilkins side. She had mentioned to me that my great, I don't know, some of the older ones in here would remember, my great Aunt B. Wilkin. She used to attend here years ago. Of course, she's since gone on, but she used to be the one on the walker. She sat right over here close to where the bushes sit. Anyway, she used to milk cows in that barn before the church ever even owned this property, way back when she was real young. And but back to the barn, yeah, when we moved it, of course, I can remember a big discussion about the barn. At the time, it came up in a business meeting, actually, and Brother Wilson, it was quite a discussion. I can remember very clearly, and nobody could really make a decision about the barn. They was wanting to put a new dorm up, but you know how the sentimental is with an older structure, you know, about, you know, people, you know, we was thinking about just tearing the clear down, and nobody could really figure out what to do with it. And I don't know why, I was just, something just moved me. I was there in the business meeting, and of course I guess everybody's got a voice, so I popped up and I went down front. I don't know, I was at that time I was in my teens, and I just brought up, well, you know, it's just, you know, I know there's sentimental values, but you know, we have to move on. You know, why let something like that stand in the road, if in the road of progress? You know, I mean, it's had its time and its day. Just do away with it. Of course, Brother Richard came to me afterwards, and he said he thanked me for getting up and saying that. And of course, you know, I was nervous, but I just felt like I should say something. For some reason, something was just prodding me, so I did it. And so anyway, Brother Wilson, I think he's the one that finally came up. I don't know if it's him, but I know he mentioned that we was going to have thought about just moving it, which was a good idea for what we did. It was Dingy Moving Company out of Zanesville was the company's name that had done it. And after we had everything tore off, they came in, and they used steel beams. You see in those pictures the other day, if anybody was in those meetings, they'd used a lot of steel beams, and because of that wood structure, you know, the way the old barns were built, they was pegged together with the old style post and beam, and they used them wood pegs to hold all those beams together. But those are real, you know, if they're, the way they're built, they are a very stout structure. You can, some of these old barns, it's amazing how much hay you can put in one of these old barns and what the weight it would hold. But the way those things are made, they would take the weight. So the problem was, you know, if they moved it, you know, you couldn't just move it over the hill that easy. They had to come in with all the steel beams. They actually pinned that barn all together. When they done it, they actually, at that time, they actually squared it up. You know, some of the old posts were, you know, maybe rotted a little bit off the bottom, they was moved or whatever. At that time, when they actually picked it up, they put the steel beams in place, and they used a lot of steel cable, and they had cable running everywhere in that old barn. You know, top to bottom and crisscrossed and just everywhere to brace those posts together, to hold them in place. Well, they had this thing built on a steel frame, and in that picture you've seen those big set of, looks like a double set of duals, wheels and tires, and it was actually sitting in the center of the building tied to all that beam work. And what that was, when they jacked that building up, all that weight was sitting on those big sets of wheels in the center of that building. And there was a guy in there on it was like a big jack handle. I can't remember how that mechanism worked, but anyway, he could actually steer them tires when they got ready to move it. Well, they had it all up, and of course the day, moving day came, and I can remember very clearly, I could still, every once in a while it comes back to me, because it's just a, it's a bad sight. I can remember standing there. I was standing there by Brother Carl McKnight. We was over there underneath those overhead lines. Those are actually 12-470, about 15,000 volts through those lines. And one phase of the line, 7,200 volts, one phase to ground. There's three phases. And they had the barn, of course, you know, ready already, and they had a big dozer, you see in that picture, that was actually on this side of the building, and they had a what they called like a clam type bucket that would actually open up. Well, he had his bucket sunk in the ground about 2 feet, and he had a winch line on there that was hooked to the to that steel part of the structure that held the barn, and he was just going, he's just sitting there letting line off his winch, and there was a semi truck in the front that was actually pulling it over the hill. And that's how they had that rigged up to move it over. Well, of course, before they did move it over, we had Brother Pryor, I believe, laid it all out, Brother Howard Pryor. They had all the new foundations. You can see, the, of course, in the barn down there, you can see the concrete pillars, post, that's out of the ground so far. But those beams used to go clear to the ground. We cut them off. And after they got down, they cut them closer. But they had that all figured out, all measured out, figured out every spot where those posts was going to hit. And they had those concrete piers. Of course, they had to drill and put foundations in, and they poured all those piers in place. So those were already all there the day we moved the barn down. We just had to get it down and get it set close to where it goes, and then let everything down and wait on those piers. Well, in the process, of course, when moving day came, there all three of the Dingy generations was out there. The old man that actually started, he was in his 80s. His son was in his 60s, and the youngest one there was, I think he was 32 years old. And of course, they had their other men there, their employees was helping them. And there was, I don't remember how many of us, I was there, I know Kevin Borders, Brother Charlie Bounds, Brother Sesher, older Brother Sesher was there, I remember. I think Johnny Kelly, I don't know. There was just different ones that kind of sticks out in my mind that was there. And at that time, I believe they was cooking a meal for us too in the dining hall at the time for the workers. And of course, Brother Wilson was there too. Anyway, I was telling you, I was standing there by Brother Carl McKnight, right beside him. And they got ready, they started to move that barn over the hill. And I of course, I was looking at that high tension line, and I knew it wasn't off. Of course, I was in my early 20s, I guess, just out of high school. Or, because I was a little older, I was actually maybe 19 or 20, somewhere in there. I may have been just married, come to think about it. I was in my early 20s. But, you know, for me, I felt kind of intimidated. I wasn't going down there to stop progress, I guess. I felt kind of small compared, you know, I said, or, you know, there's these guys have been doing this all their life, and, you know, who am I going down there and tell them, you know, hey, you know, what about this line up here? So I said something to Brother Carl McKnight. It got to a point, I said something to Brother McKnight. I said, you know, you ought to say something to him maybe about that line. And he did. He stopped him. He hollered down there and stopped the older one in his 60s. And he hollered down and said, you know, what do you think about that line up there? And he looked at it and he said, oh, it's fine. It's fine. We're good. And it probably wasn't, I don't know, less than a minute. I could still see it plain as day. I was probably from here to where my son is out there in the vestibule. The guy in the middle and that steering that building, he had a steel handle off those. Of course, everything's all tied together. And what happened was when they was moving that over the hill, you think about the height of that building. there's a lightning rod, about probably a 3-foot lightning rod on top of that building on this end of it. And they hit just a little divot in the ground. Well, you can, you know, just imagine, even if you hit, you know, a 2-inch divot, say, in the ground, just a little hole, and the height of that building, how much it throws it off on the height. What's exactly what happened. They hit a little hole, and that lightning rod smacked the outside phase of that 7200 is what the guy got. He got every bit of it. And I could still see it. He just froze. He was staring at it, and he just froze and just fell over on the handle. And you can see he was on, of course, the tires were on fire. It's just a miracle. It's just a miracle the barn didn't burn down. It's just a miracle. I mean, that structure was dry as could be. There was actually a flame that started up in that area, because when that thing hit that hole and kind of jumped and shifted back, it still didn't lose contact. It actually drew an arc, and there was an arc that far. It was holding it, just an arc from that, when that ground, that lightning rod hit that line. And you can see where that guy had burnt his, basically he was burning right there, his legs, both his legs. And I can remember there was the guy that was in the semi truck, was one of their other employees. He was actually still okay. And the guy on the dozer was still okay. The reason why the guy on the dozer was still okay, because you think about it, his dozer was getting hot. It was like a big heating element, because he was grounded. He had that front of that blade in the ground about 2 feet. So, of course, it was getting hot, and he was getting scared. And I still remember, he was older, he was in his 60s, I think this guy was. He dove off that dozer, and I guess he never did. He was stoved up till he died, so I understood. He never did come out of it. He was fine, but I mean, other than stoved up. The guy in the semi-truck, he didn't know what was going on. He just heard all this hollering. And he jumped out of the truck. He was fine. Because, you know, he was, of course, the tires on the truck were catching fire. They were smoking. And because, you know, that electric, you know, 7200 volts is going to go somewhere. And you know, eventually it's going to go through that, get from that rubber to them steel rims and whatever it's going, you know, it's getting them back to the metal. Anyway, he jumped out and he was fine. Well, he panicked, and at the time the owner was trying to holler at and tell him to put a board down, you know, on the step and run up a board and get in the truck, you know, so he'd be somewhat grounded. I mean, that's still dangerous, but that's, you know, in that situation, what else could you do? Anyway, he panicked, basically, after he seen what happened, and he grabbed one of that chrome handle on the truck and put one foot on the gas tank, or on the fuel tank, and it took him out. I went on that side of the building, but I remember Sister Lake was over there, and she said that they seen every hair in his head to stand straight up, and he just shot him back. And he didn't look too bad, I mean, as far as looking at him. Actually, that was the only time that I think I ever tried my CPR when we had in school. A couple of us, that's the first time I ever tried on anybody, was that guy. Now, the other guy, the Denji's youngest Denji, he was, like I said, he was 32 years old. He's the one that Brother Wilson prayed for. I can still remember, what happened with him. The first guy that was inside, he was trying to get him off the handle with a big long tube before. Well, you know, he was just in panic mode. And of course, you know, if he would have been thinking right, you know, the man was already gone. There was no coming back. I mean, unless it was a great miracle. I mean, he was fried, basically. And he was down there trying, he had a long tube before, trying to knock the guy loose. Well, in the process, he had bumped something, one of the steel cables, beams, or something. Anyway, I can still remember, because by that time, the owner, his dad, it was actually his dad, in between that time, had put a board down on the semi, and he ran up that board and dove in the truck and knocked it out of gear and just let it roll. And it rolled off and got it off the course out of the danger zone of that overhead line. So it wasn't energized anymore. And I can still remember his dad coming up and his son laying there on the ground, and he wasn't moving. He had a hole that was in came in beside his knee, and that circuit went through and had a hole out below his ear. That's where that circuit went. And as far as I'm concerned, the guy was dead. You know, I don't really know, but he was in bad shape, put it that way. I mean, he wasn't moving, nothing. And his dad came up and was crying over him. And I still remember, I seen Brother Wilson go over there, and of course, that was the picture that was in the paper. I can still remember Brother Wilson had a pair of bib overhauls on with a piece of airmail stuck in his pocket. That's what was in the picture. He just went down and prayed for him, and I was right there. That man just stood right up. And he was trying to help some other people, and the squad was there by that time, and they was trying to get the guy calmed down. And it was just a miracle. And you know, I can't remember. And it's a sad thing. I can't remember him ever one time coming to church after that, ever even visiting the congregation here. But there's some other things that I guess I've been involved in other than the barn over the years is, of course, well, I guess basic on my own. Of course, Brother Orr, you know, by that time was, you know, in the later years after Brother Decker was pastor. Of course, I was involved in when we put a new heating system, air conditioning system in this building, a new boiler system. I was involved in that. Of course, the pool light, all the new lighting out in the building outside. I guess all these new lights in here was involved in that. I guess before that, we did relight the, back in 1990, I believe it was, we relit the sanctuary, put all new lights in there. And if anybody can remember, I know some of the older ones will, you used to have to use 1,000 speed film in this building, with that type of camera anyway, back in them days. You had to use 1,000 speed film to even take a picture. It was so dark. It was dark in here. But we got the, of course I was kind of waiting. At that time, I worked for Hall of Fame in research and development, and I had kind of, I guess, some ends with some salespeople, and I was kind of, when this new fixture came out, that style, I knew that was a perfect fit for the building. So they ended up giving us a good buy on those fixtures, and when we put those all in, we had to rewire, we actually put all new wiring in, we had to add some circuits and add some new conduits and different things in the ceiling from down in the basement. Brother Orr was involved in that. He helped me mount all the ballast and everything down in the equipment room. But so he was involved in that. Like I said, the pool lights, all this canopy lighting. There are a lot of things that, you know, if you got a will and you want to do something, and there's plenty to do around here. Believe me, there's still a lot to do. There's a lot of things I can still do here, need to get done. There's a lot of things hanging I'd like to get done. need a few more electricians, I guess. But there's a lot of things that can be finished up. Anyway, as I said, you know, I'm thankful for all the opportunities, you know, that I've had here through the years, and mostly for the truth and all the services. You know, they was talking the other day about the long revivals. I can remember several 6-week revivals, a lot of them, and I can remember faintly a 9-week revival. I can remember one time we went weeks and weeks. Bro Wilson, I remember making a statement. I said, "Well, we'll take a couple days break and we'll come back, start over." And, you know, it just got to a place like, you know, it was just a normal thing. You know, you wonder, you know, if you wasn't had a revival, you was kind of looking around, figuring out what you was going to do. It was just the way it was. But you know, it was never boring. To me, it was never boring. I can remember, I had opportunities when I was younger. Some of my family, you know, times, some of the long revivals, you know, because my dad was always here every service. And, you know, there's a lot of times that I probably could have stayed home if I wanted to. But I can remember, you know, when Brother Wilson was going through, especially going through the Revelations, that always intrigued me when I was younger. And it was just, it was just the Spirit of God, just the truth. And it was never boring to me. I could sit there and Brother Wilson, he could be preaching for 2 hours, and you look at the clock and you wonder where the time went to. It was just, you know, it was just definitely a Spirit of God. And yeah, same way it is Brother Decker a lot of times, you get into teachings. You know, he gets into teachings and you know, on different subjects. And you wonder, you know, you look, you know, I'm not worried about my watch. But sometimes, you know, you look and where did the time go? You know, it's already, you know, an hour. I can remember, like I said, Brother Wilson, there's times that I remember him preaching close to 3 hours at different times in the past. Of course, you know, I know that's today's age, that's a little bit tough to do here anyway. I mean, a lot of people won't sit that long, you know, at all. But, you know, back then, and during those revivals, you know, many times, and it was exciting. You know, Brother Wilson was, you know, and all going through his revelations, and you can imagine 9 weeks. Just think how much he can cover. 9 weeks of revival, just night after night after night. And but you know, I'm thankful for the opportunities. I'm thankful for, you know, for still being here. Like I said, I could have went astray very easily. I had a lot of people trying to sway me. I've had family. I could have went a different route. But you know, it comes back to the Spirit of God. You know, He doesn't lead you wrong.
Right.
You know, He never will lead you wrong. And I'm thankful, you know, that I'm still here, still in the truth. I'm thankful for Brother Decker, for the, you know, what he's carried on. And I know he's had a very trying ministry, if you want to put it that way. In his ministry, he's took a lot for us, believe me. He's taken a lot. There's a lot of things that, you know, there's a lot of things I don't even know. I mean, I know some, but there's a lot of things, you know, that he doesn't let on, that he's had to take for us. And, you know, and he's definitely a true man of God. And, you know, I appreciate Brother Sister Decker in a special way. And all the other ones, all the older saints, you know, even there's some in here tonight, Sister Ogle, just different, you know, Brother Miller, I see him was out there and I came in. And just, you know, a lot of the older saints, the pillars in the church that stood true,
right,
you know, that I can remember from way back, just as a child. And one thing I was going to mention down on Six and Locust, I think Brother Miller and I spoke about one time. He talked about Jason like keys when he was little. He was always about keys. I would guess he must have got that from me or something. I didn't know he was like keys that well. When I was real young, Six and Locust, old Brother Tom Lane, just about every service, he'd bring me an old key. I had a big old key ring full, just a big key ring full of keys. And I don't know why, I just like keys. And he knew I liked keys, so he'd bring me an old key just about every service. And then, of course, he started bringing me pen knives and just, you know, little things like that. You know, it's just little things that stick out. And, you know, I'm thankful for the older saints, the ones that held true and ones that influenced my life. And I'm just thankful for that.